Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
What day is it? I don't even know what day it is. Where am I? I'm not really even sure. But my name is Gordon Damer. That much I know. And your overnight oasis is back in effect on this Wednesday morning. I'm pretty sure it's a Wednesday morning. It's been a blur the last 24 hours. But the number, of course, you know, 888-808-1019, the telephone number. And look, you know what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to be talking about the Knicks. The Knicks are the story right now. We'll mix in some baseball. We'll mix in some Yankees. We'll mix in some Mets. It's going to be tough to mix in Mets after last night. You know, last night was such a blowout. Soto didn't even hit one of his meaningless home runs. Come on. Maybe we'll even touch on the hockey a little bit. But I got to be honest with you. I don't really think that the world revolves around me. But I believe that the last 24 hours has been an elaborate prank on me. I feel like I'm living in the Truman Show. Because everywhere I turn, after Game 3 of the NBA Finals, all I have heard from the moment the game ended, when I went to bed, when I woke up the next day, all day yesterday, driving in tonight, I actually saw people working inside the Holland Tunnel. I was like, whoa, they closed the lane and there was actually people working for what are the chances of that? But I digress. But I think it's been an elaborate prank on me because everywhere I go, all I hear is, well, the Knicks didn't lose game three because of the officiating. The officiating is not the reason why the Knicks lost game three. The Spurs didn't win that game because of the officiating. What the hell are we talking about? Of course the officiating decided that game. What are you talking? How much more would the Spurs have to benefit for the game to be decided by the officiating? Now, could the Knicks have overcome their mistakes? Could they have played a sharper game? Yes. Did they commit enough self-imposed penalty? Yes. Were they careless with the basketball? Absolutely. Could they have done things better or sharper? Yeah. But at the end of the day, anybody who watched that game and didn't feel like the officiating was the number one reason why the Spurs were able to win that game. I don't know what the hell you are watching. They went to the foul line in the second half three times as many times as the Knicks. They hit as many free throws, I believe, as the Knicks took. The Knicks finished the first half on a 10-1 run. And go find the clip as they go into intermission. The head official is standing on the sideline, the whistle in his mouth, and he looks stunned that the Knicks have this lead at halftime. And this is not, I keep hearing, well, you know, you don't want to be a conspiracy theorist. This is not reptilian overlords. This is not birds aren't real. This is not the world is flat. This is watching with my own two eyeballs at what the game was going on. It's all of a sudden, oh, you think the officials? It's the NBA. Yes, I do. I just watched it. What the hell are we talking about? One team went to the foul line three times as many times in the second half of an NBA game. No, it wasn't the officials. It wasn't the officials. How many more times would they have to go to the foul line in the second half to where you would say, so only if the Knicks play a flawless game and the officials then send the other team to the foul line three times as many times as the Knicks that we can say, hey, you know what? Maybe the officials have... This is the NBA. What are you talking about? And not just the foul call. The Knicks were just too Jalen Brunson. He was very inefficient. Why do you think that was? They're able to mug him up and down the court because they know they're not going to get foul calls on them. You don't think that that... Yes, of course. You don't think that the Knicks could play as tight a defense as the Spurs played in Game 3 if they knew chances were they weren't going to get fouls called on them? The Knicks were in the penalty almost immediately in the second half. After the Knicks finished the first half on a 10-1 run, the Spurs then go to the foul line in the third quarter 14 times to the Knicks 3. What are we talking about? And look at the plays that went on. Plays that went one way that didn't go the other. The one that other people have obviously pointed out, I pointed out in real time. And here's the thing. If you're telling me that the officials were not biased in that game on Monday night, I don't even know what day it is anymore, Monday night, then the broadcasting team of Tim Legler and Richard Jefferson should be reprimanded, if not fired. Because on the flagrant foul that got called on Jalen Brunson. You saw the play. Champagne goes up, comes down on the back of Brunson's ankle. Never mind the fact that Champagne, as it goes to review, is laughing because he knows he got the call. He flopped enough to get the call. But when they go to the review, Tim Legler and Richard Jefferson are watching, and they're like, no, that's nothing. You can't call that on Brunson. He stayed in the same spot, and Champagne jumped into him. And then, to show you that the fix is in, the announcers say, nah, it's nothing. You can't call that. The officials review it. Yeah, that's a flagrant. And then, like flipping a switch, yeah, it's a right call. Wait a second. 2 seconds ago, you just said that's nothing. And now you're going to tell me that's something? What the fix is in. The fix is in. Never mind the fact of the Wembanyama play where he just gets to ragdoll. He gets to ragdoll the Knicks' best player in the middle of the court on the Knicks' home court. In a playoff game, and it's not called a foul, and then, oh, we're going to review it. It's not a... I saw one. What was it? There's no additional sanctions on Wembanyama. There were no original sanctions on Wembanyama. What the hell are you talking about? Oh, yeah, well, it was a foul.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And again, Wembanyama does that. Brunson gets ticked off. Smartly did not take the bait because I think that part of that was to kind of bait Brunson into doing something. He just goes back and, you know, points a finger, doesn't overreact and get a call. Because, you know, if Brunson would have overreacted, oh, tactical on Brunson. Well, why did he overreact like that? Oh, yeah, he just got his head mushed by Groot. Groot's allowed to do it. As soon as Brunson reacts, what does Wembanyama do? He laughs because it was intentional. It was intentional. And he got away with it because he knows that the officials are not going to call things on him. He lives under a different set of rules. If you can't see it with your own eyes, again, This is not conspiracy theories. This is not the Illuminati. I'm not picking up signs in the message. I'm watching it with my own eyes on my television, and it is there for everyone to see. But he knows that they are not going to call another flagrant foul on him, and that he obviously operates under a different set of rules. Clearly. And it allows him to do those kind of things. It'll, like, go through his playoffs this year between the Nas Reed elbow, between the last series where he didn't like how the Thunder were roughing him up and he's whispering to his teammates, hey, take these guys out, to the play earlier in the series, this series with Alvarado where he's just grabbing his head and just throwing him around. And to hear, well, you know, the NBA is still reviewing that call. We all knew. Nobody was surprised. Was there a single... Now, look, you could be outraged, but you weren't surprised, were you? When you found out, oh, you know what? The NBA is not going to take any additional action. Well, they didn't take any original action, so why would they... There's not going to be any repercussions for what Victor Wembanyama did on the sideline, off the ball. No, right in the center of the court for everyone to see. Nobody, not a single person was surprised that the NBA didn't take action. That's what we expected. And that's what you have to kind of come to expect. So for anybody who tells you, oh, well, no, the officiating is not the reason why, of course it was. Now, that's not the only, could the Knicks have overcome that? Maybe, I don't know, maybe if the Knicks had overcome it and played a sharper game, maybe the calls would have been even more egregious. I don't know. It certainly seemed like they were just egregious enough to get the Spurs going in the second half, and whenever they needed a push, here comes their buddies, the officials, to give them a call. And the other one that should be pointed out, doesn't feel like it's gotten nearly enough attention, Brunson gets called for the flagrant on the Champagne play. On Josh Hart's three in the corner, when Wembanyama is dragging his foot behind him, why wasn't that a flagrant? Why aren't we reviewing that? Why didn't you catch it the first time? The guy is 7'6". How are you missing him? How are you missing the giant on the court? But it feels like I'm being gaslit. It feels like I'm being punked. You know, to hear after the game from Mike Breen, as soon as the game ends, what a response from San Antonio. What a response from San Antonio. Wait for the officials to really raise their level of play at the biggest moments. Yes, absolutely, the officials impacted that game to decide that game. What are we even talking about? And maybe I sound like a conspiracy theorist. Oh, why would they want the Spurs to win? That's their next meal ticket. That's their next LeBron. I mean, you don't have to think that deep about why they would want Sam. You know, if the roles were reversed, and San Antonio were getting all these calls because they were the little engine that could, kind of like the Knicks are. They're not the superstar-laden team. And you know how you can tell that the league doesn't look at Jalen Brunson as a superstar? He just got his head rammed basically in the middle of the court, in the middle of a play, on his home court by the biggest guy in the league. And nothing was called. And they reviewed it, and still nothing was called. And nobody was surprised. Not a single person was surprised. So, if you were watching Game 3, and maybe you're a Knick fan who feels like, you know what, it feels like the fans are watching it and seeing one thing, and the media is watching something else. But if you went today, or yesterday now, and took part in any of the league-partnered media companies, It was like the officiating wasn't even there. We'll talk about it a little bit later on, but what a response. What a response by the San Antonio. What a great way to rebound for Victor Wembanyama. We've got a series. I've heard that. Yeah, we got a series now. You don't think that was part of it? And that has been part of the NBA forever. But Game 3 was about as pronounced an example as you could get. This is not something new in NBA circles. You know, there's a reason why we pay attention to the officials being announced before each of these games. You know, there's a reason why if you see Scott Foster, you're expecting one thing. When a team is down 2-0, you're expecting something. It's part of the NBA. But I'll say this, for Game 3, that was about as egregious as it got. And it certainly seems like that it's not going away anytime soon because it was fairly egregious in Game 2. Now, Game 2, Wemby, as the officials are calling him on review, Wemby, our buddy Wemby, for them to be referring to him that way during review play, well, Wemby, it's outrageous. And the only question you have to ask yourself, and we're going to find this out together in Game 4, was that simply the league wanting to, you know, put the thumb on the scale a little bit, as I've mentioned before, so that we extend this series beyond the sweep? Or is this deeper than that? We're going to find out. But I will say this. If the officiating in Game 4 is like the officiating in Game 3, I think the league has a real credibility question. That's how egregious the officiating was. Because nobody, you know, it's one thing, and I say this all the time, we can't expect, because of technology now, we have everything at our fingertips. As sports fans, sometimes we just expect that all the games are going to be officiated perfectly and there's not going to be any wrong calls. That's not realistic. It's just not realistic. There's going to be things that go one way or the other. But when it comes to the NBA and what you talk about when you're watching Game 3, Knicks are leading the series 2-0 and are able to come home with a Game 3, overcome a slow start, which you kind of expected when the Garden gets that hyped up. It almost seems like it impacts the home team more than it impacts the road team. So I expected them to kind of come out a little flat, a little, you know, not focused or whatever term you want to use, too hyped up, whatever it was. But for them to overcome that and get going like they did in the second quarter, take that into the third, and for to watch repeatedly the officiating favor one side over another. If that's the way the games are going to be called from now on, the Knicks have to be beyond perfect. Because at that point, they not only have to beat the Spurs, they have to beat the league. That's what it will be required. It's not just about clearing up the turnovers or having a more flow on offense. If Game 4 is what it's going to look like from Game 3 and really from Game 2, the Spurs had the opportunity to win Game 2, but Wembanyama threw the ball away, fouled Brunson. They had to call that. It was right in the center of the court. Who knows? Maybe they were trying to review that. It's actually not a foul. He just tackled him and he fell out of bounds. But that was on Brunson. And then for the Spurs still to have another chance, for Wemby to have another shot and to miss that as well, to put the Knicks up 2-0, well, that was time. If there was ever times for the league to start to panic and get on the phone and DEFCON 1 and say, hey, we got to get this series beyond a sweep, Game 3 was the chance. And boy, they made sure to take advantage of their opportunity. Far more than the Spurs did. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number. 888-808-1019. All right, coming up, we'll get your phone calls involved. If you thought it was as egregious as I did, if I'm making too big a deal out of the officiating in Game 3 of the NBA Finals and what we can expect to see in Game 4, Lots to do. Just getting started on a Wednesday morning. 888-808-1019. It is Gordon Damer, your overnight oasis right here on The Fan.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.